The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Run and Plays podcast sponsored by Wendy's. Wendy's doesn't just have breakfast, it has a breakfast worth talking about. Don't let your friends miss out. And speaking of friends, I'm Grant Lippman. I have one of my closest friends in the whole entire world with me. This is Warriors insider Monty Poole. Monty, thank you for joining me today.
No problem. When you said closest friends, I just knew you were going to say Drew. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, that's the wrong show. Wrong show.
I keep the same intro, Monty, no matter what. Whoever comes on is one of my closest friends in the world. You know, that's how it's easy. So I don't even have to remember anything else.
Then again, Drew is actually your frenemy, right? I mean, he's more of a frenemy.
Yeah. You put it this way. I think you can agree with this. When you become really close with somebody, like really close friends with somebody, you don't end up ever saying nice things about that person. You know what I mean? It's uncomfortable if you do say nice things about them.
That's why you guys cut each other apart every chance you get.
Say mean things to each other, and that's how you know you're close.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, if I make fun of you, that means I like you.
All right.
That's it. So I'll make fun of you a bunch on this. Anyway, news is going to be breaking at every moment possible, but then we'll talk about the latest that we know right now. I think this pod's releasing today, so we can, you know, hopefully not know anything else that happens between now and then.
Yeah.
But as of now, the latest has been that the NBA is going to try to start December 22nd. They want to get in opening night before Christmas because Christmas Day is the second highest viewed day in usually in the NBA regular season, with opening night being number one. So, hey, if you get it a few days before, you get both of them in. The only thing about that, Monty, is December 22nd is actually pushing things kind of soon. We just went from, we don't know when the NBA season is going to start, to, hey, in about a month, they're in training camp. How does that affect the Warriors?
Well, for the Warriors, it's actually probably a good thing because they haven't played since March. You know, unlike the teams that went into the bubble in Florida, and some of those teams played well into October. The Warriors have not played since early mid-March. And so for them, it could be advantageous in the sense that they're rested. This would presume that training camp would begin sometime the first week of December, maybe. And I think they'd be okay with that, given that they haven't done anything other than the brief mini camp they had for a couple of weeks. But even that mini camp was really loosely structured, kind of more of a let's get together and sweat a little bit, throw a few passes, do a little scrimmaging, say hello to each other, tease each other, than it was a structured actually camp. And so I think for them, I mean, let's face it, Draymond Green and Stephen Curry weren't even there.
Yeah.
So that's how loosely structured it was. And nobody really sweated that they weren't there. So for them, I think it's a good thing for them if they are to start early. For some other teams, I'm not so sure because the calendar is going to be really compressed. You get the draft on November 18. You don't yet know when free agency is going to hit, but you got to assume it's going to be sometime right after that.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at, you may be drafting a guy on November 18th who may be at training camp less than 2 weeks later.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's nuts.
Well, how about that? Think about free agency. Think about who the Warriors could get a splash and everyone would be like, whoa. And you know, obviously we've talked about this at great lengths. The chances of them getting a splash player, not high, but let's say they do. And then they go, oh, we got him 3 days later. He's here. You know, it'd be like the introductory press conference would be during their practice. You know what I mean? Like, hey, can we at halftime of this, the scrimmage we're doing, can you just step over? And it's just crazy. And
yeah, they've had some guys come in late. I mean, JaVale McGee, his first year with the Warriors, wasn't signed until September.
Right.
You know, so He was like, but that was an unusual case. I mean, he was looking for a position, looking for a role, and teams were looking at him and nothing was really happening. And then the Warriors jumped on it. But I mean, I believe that when he signed, it was less than 2 weeks before training camp. Maybe even less than that. So it can happen, but for it to happen en masse, you know, for everybody to be doing it, I mean, that's going to be crazy. It will be crazy if you have 30 teams trying to get themselves together in a 2 week period between the draft and training camp. That's going to be nuts.
In the past, when you used to say a training camp invite, it meant, you know, you're trying to make the team, but you're not going to, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like everyone's a training camp invite at that point when you have free agency, you know, just signing. No, but remember Marquise Chris, we were at media day. Marquise Chris, I think the day before, got called and said he's training camp invite. And I remember sitting there with Drew, and we turn to our right, and Marquise walks by. We're like, he's here already? Is he officially even signed here yet? And it's just crazy. That's going to be how it is. I mean, one thing that will not be how it is us being at a media day. That's not going to happen. But it's a weird year. You know, we already have Danny Green saying that LeBron James won't show up for the first month of the season. I think LeBron is probably texting Danny after that, being like, why on earth did you say that? Now I have to answer a million questions about that. And every TV show is going to talk about this. But money talks, Monty. And if they structure it the right way and they say December 22nd, it's starting. I mean, I think it truly actually is the best case scenario for the Warriors because they're more ready to start than any other team. But on the flip side, they also have to restructure their roster more than a lot of other teams. So it's a mixed bag.
They don't come in with a ready-made roster. Yeah, you have your core. You got Draymond, Steph, and Clay, and Andrew Wiggins, who, you know, they're insisting is still part of the core. And at this point, it makes sense that he would be. But after that, you're talking about mostly rookies and youngsters. And so they know they need more vets. I mean, you're not going to be able to find a David West out there for veterans minimum at this stage. But there may be one or two guys that you can come in that can make your rotation. And that's something that they will definitely be looking at. They need wings. They need wings that can defend. Yeah, if you can shoot, that's great. The 3-and-D profile is awesome. But I think for this team, the emphasis has to be on defense. When you lose Andre Iguodala and you lose Kevin Durant, I mean, going back, so you've got guys that can really guard those wings. And now, other than Draymond, you know, as a guy who can really kind of muck up an offense, who do you have? I mean, Clay's pretty good on the ball. Clay's good on the ball, but he takes a lot of point guards. And I don't know if that's going to change. But after Draymond, who else do you put out there and say, okay, this guy is going to defensively be a difference maker in the team concept? They don't have that like Andre Iguodala was. Andre was that guy. And I'm not saying you're going to find him, you know, but I think if you're Steve Kerr, you're thinking, I need a guy that can put out there and say, okay, he can defend pretty much any wing in the league, at least competently. And I think that's what they have to look for.
Yeah, and very soon, let's break down. We'll talk about prospects that they may be looking at, potentially they can fill that role, and maybe even you have to break down some trade rumors because that's what we do.
Of course.
Isn't it fun, though? I can actually say this now, that if the season does start that early, we're so close to not having to make these hypothetical trades anymore. We're so close. But one other thing that benefits the Warriors, I would say, a very veteran team like that, if they do shorten the regular season, I mean, we've talked about great lengths in the past. Draymond Green and these guys, you know, load management, they save a little bit in the tank for playoffs. You get a shorter regular season, and these guys will just be a little fresher when it comes to the playoffs. And that can benefit the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a shorter season, but it's also going to be starting much later.
That's true.
So if they go with 72 games, it's going to be some compression there because they're going to be starting almost 2 months later than normal if it's this, you know, late December. Because normally it's late October. Normally the season will be starting like this week.
Yep.
So, and if you're too mad and you still want to finish your season in June, that's tight. Now, it would make a difference if they go regional, sort of like baseball did, and keep your team sort of, for the most part, in their geographic areas. Now, that would mean you'd limit coast-to-coast travel to maybe three trips, two trips maybe. And so that would make sense. If you're going to compress the schedule, you would have maybe the Warriors would go to LA twice all year and play both teams both times.
Right.
And the same for you know, so it's going to be different, but I think for the Warriors, because they've had so much time off, I know Draymond's going to be itching to play because he's heard all the chatter.
Yep.
He's heard all the noise. Ah, we don't know. Draymond could do this. Draymond may be done. I mean, he's on the downside and all this stuff. So knowing Draymond's competitive nature, man, he's going to want to prove otherwise.
Right.
Steph, you know he's going to be Steph. He's healthy. He's ready to go. And Clay, even though, you know, he doesn't have anything quite to prove because it's an ACL, we know there's going to be a little bit of a difference. But we also know in Clay think that at some point early in the season, it'll be pretty normal. You know, it'll be pretty normal. So, yeah, I think for these guys, it would definitely help them. It would help them to start the season in December. But I don't think it would hurt them if they started the season in January either.
Yeah. I mean, the difference right now would be like December 22nd versus January 15th or 16th, right. You know, whatever it is. That's the difference we're talking about here. It's not like February 15th versus December 2nd. So yeah. It's not that crazy of a, you know, that's 3 weeks probably a difference. But it's crazy. And I would say this, that anyone who's dreaming up these massive superstar trades, I wonder if this limits it a little bit before the season starts. Because yes, all these teams are having conversations, but it'll be less time to work with the new cap when they know it, and be less time to figure out the free agency situation. So it'll be less time to be like, this is my situation, this is where I need to make a trade. And because of that, I do wonder if trades would more likely happen in the middle of the season than before the season.
Yeah, you know, and I don't, I mean, from what I've heard so far, at least, you know, they're leaning towards junking the All-Star Weekend format, you know, but they would still have a period of time in the middle of the season, a week or so, where they won't have any games. So that's the latest I've heard. Now, again, you know, there are some factors here. You got TV is going to be swinging their bat. You know, the TV contract people are going to be in there, and so will the Players Association. So all these factors have to come into play before they can reach a settlement that's sort of accepted by everyone. Now, trades, yeah. Normally, you know, you have an entire summer. Mm-hmm. You know, some teams have more than that because if you don't make the playoffs, you have from April to October. You know, you're looking at 5 months.
You're thinking forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so normally what you have 5 months, and now you're looking at maybe, you know, maybe 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, between the draft and the season starting. So it's a tight window, and that's why I think you're right when you say that it's very likely that you might see more trades mid-season than you would prior to the season, because it's just such a short time period other than draft trades involving the draft. I mean, there will be movement there. And I fully expect the Warriors to continue to explore all options. You know, you notice how they're loving a lot of prospects, man.
Yes.
They're all great. Obi Toppin is wonderful. James Wiseman is great.
Blown
away by Denny Adija.
Yeah.
LaMelo Ball is so intriguing. He's super talented. And Anthony Edwards could be a star. I mean, they're all wonderful. And so we know what that means.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Monty. And I caution people a lot on this too. Everyone just assumes this is the Warriors leaking all of this. Players' agents leak a lot of information because they also recognize the fact that the Warriors are in trade mode right now, right? Mm-hmm. So they want to put their player as a person that the Warriors might be interested in just in case a team wants to trade up to that spot and take them if they really like Obi Toppin or whatever. So it's not all the Warriors, but yeah, of course the Warriors are leaking a little bit of stuff. Everyone's trying to get in there. The one team that isn't leaking much are the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of question marks out there. Now, according to PointsBet Sportsbook, right, and – they put the odds out there for where, let's say, who's going to be the first overall pick, and they tell you the odds of each player going. And right now, first overall, they have Anthony Edwards at -200. Is that a surprise? No, because Anthony Edwards for a while has been that. In the beginning, before the season, it was James Wiseman. LaMelo Ball took that spot for a little bit there. But the thing is, you're looking at the first overall pick. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Correct. Yep. And if we're looking at the roster, I would literally say Anthony Edwards probably fits what they need the most there.
Yep.
But that also means if a team really loves Anthony Edwards, they can trade up and take it, right?
Right.
For me, personally, and I don't know where I'm getting this, but I'm just going to say.
Okay, this ought to be good.
Yeah. I truly think if a team's going to trade up to the first overall pick, they're either going for LaMelo Ball or they're thinking James Wiseman can go there. I don't think a team is ready, and I don't know – I just don't know if a team – is saying, I'm so in love with Anthony Edwards, I need to trade up and get him right now.
Right, right.
I think if a team's feeling like one of these guys is a huge difference maker, they will go, oh, I need a big man on my team to fix that, or I need a point guard to fix that. That doesn't mean I don't think Anthony Edwards is going to be the best player on the in the draft. I just think that I just don't know if a team is ready to trade up just to get him.
You know, I tend to go along with you on that. Because in terms of Wiseman, there's really nobody else like him in this draft. I mean, he's 7'1", his wingspan is 7'6". Everybody that I've talked to says, wow, his athleticism is elite. Mm-hmm. So he's unique. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys that fit that profile, that sort of Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green profile of a guy who can guard all three bigs, you know, standing between 6'7 and 6'9". Onyeka Okongwu for one at USC. You got a bunch of guys like that. But Wiseman is a guy who's different from those guys in his length. He's just that lengthy and a terrific athlete. And then same with Ball. I mean, Ball, by most accounts, is going to be the best of the Ball brothers. Now, granted, you know, Lonzo, you know, he's had some good moments, but he's been a little bit inconsistent. His shot comes and goes. He's a decent point guard. But LaMelo, by all accounts, you know, he's bigger more a little flashier, it sounds, you know. Right. So I can see a team saying, like, if you're the Knicks,
yep,
you know, exactly. I can see them saying, LaMelo Ball would give us someone, he would have star power coming into the door, you know. Right. And in New York, that can sell a little bit in New York. Now, you got to be able to play. But yeah. If you're in New York and you get a guy that people know about, have heard about, that would be an interesting scenario. I'd love to see LaMelo as a Knick, because Tom Thibodeau's there now, and you know, he's talking about making changes. The Knicks, not the same old Knicks, so we'll see.
That combo would be interesting. But let me ask you this, Monty. Then if we're talking about where someone's going to be taken, unless the Knicks truly believe another team's jumping up to the first overall pick to take LaMelo, or if they think the Timberwolves are going to take LaMelo, it almost feels like trading up to number two may even be better for a team like the Knicks, because they can say, I truly think the T-Wolves are taking Edwards or Wiseman. They're not taking Wiseman. They have Cat. That'd be weird.
Right.
If they
took Wiseman. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Edwards. And then they go, all right, I'll trade up to two, because we figure there's more teams trying to trade up right now to get LaMelo at two, because you have to give up less to move up to two versus one. Obviously, there are so many different circumstances that can happen, and Bob Myers will look through all of these. Sure, there are leaks right now. Players' agents are trying to put people in different positions. But, Monty, I'm not ready to give my 100% prediction here, but I'm going to give one that I'm pretty close to. I would have to hear something way different to say otherwise. This is breaking stuff right here that I'm going to release. If the Warriors stay at number two, I'm going to give the most boring possible prediction, and Warriors fans may find this incredibly boring. But if Anthony Edwards is available, I think the Warriors will take Anthony Edwards. If he's not available, I think they will take James Wiseman. Those are my – and that's what has been predicted for a long time. But I'm not buying that at number two they're going to take Denny Avdia or – Obi Toppin or LaMelo Ball. I'm not buying it. I think they would go with one of those two guys if they keep number two.
I don't think the Warriors would take LaMelo Ball if they were choosing, if he was there at seven or eight. I mean, I don't see I don't see the Warriors. I mean, Steve Kerr talked about fit, you know, fit. And I don't know that, you know, he'd have to be, for them to take LaMelo Ball, it would have to be, you know, a no-brainer situation. And that high in the draft, for them, is not a no-brainer situation.
Right.
So I tend to agree with you there, although I'm not so sure that they would take Edwards.
I over, think you'd say Wiseman.
Yeah, no, I think they like Wiseman.
Yeah.
But I think they would take Toppin, might take Toppin over Edwards.
So you're saying Toppin, you really do think could go number two?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, he's all over the place right now. But, you know, from people who I've talked to, they seem to think that the Amari Stoudemire comp is pretty legit. Especially, I mean, young Amari, because he was so bouncy then before he had the knee issues.
Right.
And Obi Toppin is really bouncy. So, Toppin can shoot the three, but he's not great at it. Amari was a mid-range guy for the most part. But if you're the Warriors, the question is, what do you want to get out of the draft if you are end up having to pick for your team, not trade the pick? If you keep that number two overall pick, I think you want to get somebody who would be a bridge from the Steph, Clay, Draymond era to the next era. And I don't know if that guy is Edwards.
Well, that's my thing, though, is that Obi Toppin, for what they say, might be the most developed offensive power forward or big in the draft right now, right? Ready to go right now. But defensively, he's giving up a lot. And that's tough. And they need to kind of decide soon, do they really want to try to even things out where they're really good defensively? Or do they just say, hey, we're going all in on offense and we're just going to beat people offensively, right? If you're going to,
that won't work.
That's not their style. Right. Exactly. So
In
that case, I do not see a scenario where they take Obi Toppin instead of James Wiseman. And that's where my mind goes from that. I think they look at it and say, you at least are getting great defense with Wiseman. You don't know yet what you're going to get offensively from him. For Obi Toppin, you're going, I know I'm going to get some awesome offense from him, but I also know I'm not getting defense from him, right? So it's more of a safer pick is Wiseman, I would say, in that situation. But the Edwards one, Monty, they just need to decide, is he going to buy in because of Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, these guys? Is Edwards going to buy in? Because if he buys in, I mean, he's a bulldog out there, literally and figuratively. I mean, he's
Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah, I know. I actually didn't mean that at first, and then I said it, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. No, he's a slasher. He can get to the hoop. He's so athletic. He's built, really built for probably 6'4". He has the body of like a Donovan Mitchell or something. Yeah. Am I afraid he could end up being a Dion Waiters? A little bit. But at the same time, if you get him to buy in defensively, I don't know how you pass that up. But you have to be convinced you can get this guy to buy in.
Yeah, I mean, here's the situation the Warriors are in, though. They have not drafted particularly well the past few drafts. Now, Eric Paschal was a good find at number two, second round. We don't know what Jordan Poole's going to give you just yet. I mean, there are some encouraging signs, but we don't know yet. And, you know, we know that Jacob Evans, didn't work out so well. And so you look at the recent draft picks, and I think Bob knows this. They got to get this one right. If they make a pick, it can't be a guy that they want to trade a year later. You know, it's got to be a guy at number two that you think is going to be the guy. And that's why, to me, Edwards is less of an option there, because Edwards may have a very high ceiling, but he also has a pretty good floor, you know, a pretty deep floor. So I think if you're – well, and Toppin's like 23 years old, I think.
Right.
He's one of the old guys, you might
say. So old, ancient.
Yeah. I mean, Wiseman's 19.
Edwards is 19. All these guys are like 19 or 20.
Yeah. So, I think that they know, and Bobby said, we've got to get this one right, whether we make the pick or make the trade. We've got to get it right, because I am skeptical as to how good they're going to be at drafting. And I've been that way ever since Jerry West left. You know, we know Jerry West knew talent. I mean, he is one of the best talent scouts the NBA's ever seen. And when they drafted, you know, obviously the 2012 draft was huge for them. You know, you get three guys. And at one point you had Draymond, Harrison Barnes, and Festus Ezeli on the court at the same time, deep right. in the playoffs.
Right.
That's a rare thing to have three guys from one draft sharing the court deep into the playoffs. But they were, you know, in year two, they were on the court. So
you're not saying game seven, Poole, Smiley Geach, and Pascal are going to be out there again?
Yeah, I'm not seeing that just yet. You know, I'm not seeing that just yet. So, yeah, so there is a lot to prove there, because who have they gotten since that draft? You can say, this is a guy that's going to be with us long term. Who? Looney is the closest you've come. And right. we all know Looney is terrific at what he does, but he's not going to be a 30-minute-a-night player.
Yeah, but I would say the one thing I would say in response to that is look at where they're drafting,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
and that's – and sure, they struck gold with Draymond Green in the second round. But, you know, Jacob Evans, Damian Jones, these guys were at the very end of the first round. If you look historically – you know, sure, you do find some diamonds in the rough and you get some great pick. You know, there are five teams every year that nail it in that range, but that also means there's 25 teams that don't, right? And unfortunately, the Warriors have been that team a few times, but in the second round, they have found people that have been pretty good. You know, you had McCaw was useful for a little bit. And Jordan Bell was useful for a little bit. And Eric Pascal could be a major piece that they keep.
Right.
So I'm just saying that's my only hesitation. Now, having said all that, Monty, now you don't have excuse. You can't say, oh, well, you know, oops, we did it wrong. You have the number two overall pick in the NBA draft. And that's where I'm kind of feeling like they could go the safer route and just say, let's go with a guy that no one, I don't think they care that much what people say. Like, let's go with the guy that no one can say we reached for. Let's go with the guy that's the consensus pick in that situation.
Yeah, and keep this in mind, too. When they talk about their activity towards possible trading, it's not that they want to trade out of the draft.
Right, right.
You know, they want to trade back in the draft. And, you know, that does two things. That eases the pressure to get it right. It also saves a few dollars.
Yeah. You know, not just a few.
Yes. The number two pick's gonna make a lot more money than the number nine pick.
Correct.
You know. And so they are aware of that. Now the Warriors are not a cheap operation, but yet, you know, they know that they're gonna have a big bill coming this year. Mm-hmm. And if they can limit that in some way, they're gonna try and do that. So these are all factors that are gonna play into how they deal with this number two pick, because I still think everything I've heard, and it makes sense that they would prefer to trade it and trade back in the draft. And it's a matter of finding a partner. And I would think the Knicks, who keep popping up as a possibility, would be an ideal partner in this situation.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw out a hypothetical trade because why not? Let's say it is the Knicks, right? Let's say they get Mitchell Robinson back so they feel like they have a center to go with Chris and Looney.
Yeah.
Maybe they get a future draft pick or something, and the Knicks pick. Would you rather have Wiseman at two, or would you rather have a pick, Mitchell Robinson, and Patrick Williams, or Okoro, or, you know, Sadiq Bey later on, you know, and you can mix around, or Devin Vassell? You start wondering, like, what helps you more, right? And I don't know, and that's why I'm not the GM of this team.
If they go for Mitchell Robinson, who I believe was a second round pick too, you know, so yeah, they're out there. If they go for Mitchell Robinson, obviously then that diminishes the need for James Wiseman.
Correct.
You now have your third center to play with Marquese Chris and Kevon Looney. Now, if they go that route, yes, then I think you're looking at a wing, and you know, you a guy like Okoro would fit that bill.
I mean, he would be. I think he'd be fantastic on the Warriors. The only issue is obviously his shot. But
right.
Man, like, in terms of defense, ooh,
yes,
he's elite.
He's a defensive demon, and right. he has a mentality. So does the kid at Memphis, Precious.
Yeah, Achiuwa. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He also has got a really strong defensive mentality, as does Okongwu. And Okongwu's a little bigger than those two guys. He's about 6'9", I think. But if you're looking for a guy in that Adebayo mold, and now it's funny how these things happen in cycles. You know, when Draymond Green was in the draft, what is he? And then like 3 years, 4 years later, people are like, I would like to get a Draymond Green type.
I would like a guy that I don't know what he is.
A Draymond Green type. Well,
how boring is it? I know this guy's a center. No, I want a guy that I'm not really sure what he is.
Yeah. Is he a three? Is he a four? What is he, a tweener? Well, I mean, Bam Adebayo is now that guy.
Yep.
Everybody wants a Bam. Well, you know, and Okongwu seems to be that type of player.
Yeah.
And everything I've heard about him is, as far as his work ethic, he's a gym rat and all these things. He loves to play defense. I guess what I'm saying is that the Warriors have options, and they would just as soon trade back out of that number two slot. And if they stay at two, I think they'll play it out because they don't have a choice. But I think they'd much rather play trade back and get someone in this, you know, 7 to 10 range of the draft, and you still get a pretty good player there, because this draft is so, it's so even. There's just not a lot of space between the top two or three and those that are like 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever. They're all lottery picks in this one. You shake them up and roll them out and just pick one, you know.
Yep. And that's the thing. I truly do believe that a few of these players are going to end up being stars. I do. But unlike past years, we don't know if that's in the top 5 or in the top 10.
Right.
Or maybe it's a pick like a Donovan Mitchell in the mid area that you're like, that's the guy. What if Okoro or Halliburton or any of these guys fall to 10, 11, 12, they could still be the best player in this draft. And that's why the Warriors are excited about the idea of trading back, because they save money and there's some really good players back there.
Yeah. And there's a guy that the Warriors would love to have on their team who was drafted in the middle of the first round about 7 years ago. A guy named Giannis, you know. Ooh.
Kawhi Leonard, how about that one?
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy who's drafted in the middle of the first round, 14, 15, 16, you know. And so, you can find a guy there. It's a little bit of a crapshoot with a guy like Giannis, because you know he's long, but he's pretty raw.
Right.
You know, and it took him a couple of years, but now, wow.
There's plenty of players that the teams have struck out on thinking they're going to get a Giannis out of it. And that's the thing, Monty, also, is that if you're picking in that area, you stop thinking about what star can I potentially get. It's two options. Either I'm going to take someone super raw that could eventually become an all-star in a few years or 5 years down the road, or I take a guy that can help me win now, but his ceiling is not too high. And that's where I'm looking at Sadiq Bey of Villanova, plays defense and shoots the three. Is he going to be an all-star? Probably not. Could he be Robert Covington type? Sure. And that helps you win. Right. So that's why you just have to – it's fascinating to see which way they're going to go with this. There's a lot of players. There are a lot of players they really like.
And, you know, another thing about Sadiq Bey, about Villanova thing, I mean, Villanova sends a lot of guys to the NBA.
Sure.
And, you know, I've talked about this with Eric Paschal, and he said – really, for him coming to the Warriors, he goes, the amount of similarity between the way the program is are run at Villanova and the way the Warriors do things, he said, it's a lot alike. He said, there's so many similarities. He said, for me, the transition was, the different level of basketball in the NBA. But in terms of the day-to-day operation and what we do, he goes, it's a lot alike. The practices are very similar. I mean, if you're the Warriors, you look at a guy like Sadiq Bey, who's also pretty young, you know that, you know, you might be able to plug him in pretty quickly. And in this situation, the Warriors would like to have a guy that can plug in pretty quickly, even if they draft at 7, 8, 9, or 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think let's just say in conclusion, to summarize it, I think obviously there are a ton of options. I personally am saying don't believe everything you're hearing in terms of everyone now is available at number two for the Warriors. I think they are a lot safer at number two than you think they're going to be. But they do like a lot of these players. And if they were to trade back, they would be very interested in them. I think Denny Avdia and Toppin, in my mind, are people that they would be very interested. If they trade back, let's say, with the Bulls at number four, maybe they take a couple players. Maybe the Bulls say they really want Wiseman, so they go up to number two and get Wiseman. And the Warriors get back. I've said many times, I want Satoransky from the Bulls and maybe something else. And you go to number four. Now, every name we just said is on the table, right? Like Avdija, Toppin, all these guys. But, I mean, in my personal opinion, I think that they'll go Edwards or Wiseman, and we'll see.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now, and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
Monty, there are hypothetical trades being thrown around like crazy because it's fun and usually unrealistic. There's one I want to get out of the way right now, and it's not as much about what the Warriors are sending back. I think that's – obviously we can address that. You and I have already talked about this on this podcast, how the Warriors are planning on keeping Wiggins. They need wings right now. They don't have any wings. They need to keep wings. Unless they're getting a wing back, there's a good chance they want to keep Wiggins, right? This Blake Griffin one needs to go away, this trade idea. It ain't happening. The Warriors don't want to take that contract on, and he really does not fit their team whatsoever. So I'm not saying Blake Griffin's a bad guy or bad player or something like that. Just no, it ain't happening.
No, I totally agree. I laughed at that. It's like, no. I was like, you know what? Come on. I mean, first of all, you got Draymond on your team.
Yeah.
Draymond Green does not want to be in the same room as Blake Griffin.
it ain't happening. And it's so, not.
Yeah, no, that's why I laugh. I was like, I don't know how Draymond feels about this dude. Nah, I can imagine Bob saying, hey, Draymond, we're thinking about going for Blake Griffin. And Draymond being Bob, you joking, right?
Right.
You're exactly. Joking, right? Because if you're not joking, I'm walking out.
Right. Just think about the amount, the layers of why it wouldn't happen. Number one, starting with just injuries. Why would they take on a guy right now that's dealt with injuries every year for the last so many years? Why would they take on that much money? And why would they do it at a position they don't necessarily need? It doesn't make sense whatsoever. So I'm going to just – you and I are going to throw that one out. And I promise you, quickly. I promise you, if they do trade for him, you can take the clip of this right now and just throw us into the fire and just roast us, all right? Just troll us, do everything you need to do, put on freezing cold takes on Twitter, make us look dumb, because I am very confident that's not going to happen. So we're throwing that one out the way.
Yes.
Marcus Smart has come up many times.
Yes.
The Warriors love Marcus Smart. We all love Marcus Smart. The reason we love Marcus Smart is the same reason the Boston Celtics do not want to trade away Marcus Smart, because they are trying to win now. And everyone says, well, haven't you read all the rumors that they need to shed salary? Yes, they do want to do that. But the hypothetical trades being thrown around as if that the number two pick for Marcus Smart is enough, or even getting more. There was I think Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons had a number two for Marcus Smart and the 14th pick or something like that. Monty, Marcus Smart is making, I think, like $12 million next year.
Yeah, 11, 12, yeah.
The number two pick makes $7.5 to $8 million next year. It's not like the Celtics would even be saving that much money by getting rid of Marcus Smart and getting the number two pick. And right. They're a team that almost made the NBA Finals, and they're going to be falling back a huge amount. I'm sorry, unless the Warriors send out a lot more, they ain't getting Marcus Smart.
I like Marcus Smart.
I love him.
He is that defensive dude, and he does fall in love with the shot a little bit at times, you know. And you know, he is a coach. He's that guy. He's a big play guy, as a coach once said to me. He's a big play guy. Big plays for us sometimes. Big plays for them sometimes.
But it's always a big play.
Yeah, he is that guy. But to have a guy who can guard three or four positions, defensively do it well, brings a certain spirit to every game. I would welcome that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see it happening for a lot of reasons. And I think Boston understands his value to them. I think if they move Marcus Smart, they're trying to figure out, they would need to have a guy to take his place.
Correct.
I think, you know, I've heard the Warriors maybe should move Draymond. And I always say, if you trade Draymond, you got now you're looking for another Draymond.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how does that?
You're looking for another Draymond. Good luck. Right. You know. Right. And so if the Celtics trade Marcus Smart for anybody anywhere, now they got to go find another Marcus Smart because that team needs that element that he brings, just like the Warriors need the element that Draymond has been bringing them for years. So I like Marcus Smart, but man, I don't know I don't see him in the Warriors uniform. I just don't see it happening.
Monty, at the end of games for the Celtics, do you know who was in at point guard? Not Kemba Walker. It was Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why he was in at the end of games. And the Warriors would love to have him in at the end of games as well. But it's just a lot of stuff would have to happen other than the number two pick just going for Marcus Smart straight up. Because if that was an option, it would already be done. The Warriors would trade that right now and say, we're just taking Marcus Smart. Let's go into next season. Let's
take his salary. Come on. We'll take
Exactly. Fit in the TPE if you even wanted to. Yeah. But finally, there's also trades, a rumor that people put out there about Nikola Vucevic for the Magic. He played really well for the Magic in the bubble. He's a good player. I think he's a good player. He's okay defensively. He's not great defensively, but he can score. But any trade for him includes Wiggins and picks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you trade Wiggins away to bring in a center, who is playing wing? You're getting a veteran minimum to come in and play wing, Monty?
Yeah.
Is Klay Thompson your only wing now on the team? Are you shifting him over and just saying, hey, you're the only wing on this team now?
Well, yeah. I don't see it happening because, yeah, I know he can shoot the three. He can shoot the corner three. I understand that, and that's appealing. But first, I mean, Orlando may be in trade. I mean, they may be in trade, but they got to make some changes there.
Right.
The question is, who would, you know, do they move him? Do they move Aaron Gordon, Fournier? I mean, who do they shed in the coming weeks? But Vucevic defensively is not – he's not going to give you what you got from Andrew Bogut.
Right.
He's not going to give you what you got from what you get from Kevon Looney.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give you – I mean, he may give you some of what you got from JaVale McGee defensively. I mean, you know, he JaVale is a rim protector, but, you know, his rim protection is I think overvalued in his case. You know, he's not a great shot blocker, but his length is a factor. I don't see it happening either. And if Orlando trades him, which, you know, yeah, I could see that possibility happening for sure. I don't see the Warriors as being their partner because, again, it comes back to wings. The Warriors, if you ask him, what do we need most? You're going to say athletic wings, wings.
Yep.
And that's not Vucevic.
Right. And that's exactly it. That comes down to it. And any trade also, by the way, it's not the Magic are dying to have Wiggins. For them, that's the throw-in of salary. They'd be going for the picks.
Yeah.
And so the Warriors do value Wiggins. They really like him.
Yep.
So it'd be like he would be the throw-in for the Warriors plus giving away picks for this? No.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. So
that would go against everything that they really kind of stand for right now.
Right.
On the court. No.
Right. And then there's other people that say, Miles Turner, bring him in. I like Miles Turner's game.
Me too.
I really do.
Yeah.
But to make that work, again, probably Andrew Wiggins is going. You're probably sending a pick. In my opinion, I would rather go into next season with Andrew Wiggins and James Wiseman than just Miles Turner. That's me personally. Because I'm just thinking of roster construction here. You need wings.
Yeah.
He's not a wing. And so – I know there's an emphasis a lot of people are putting on the center position right now because of what we saw in the bubble. I'm not there yet. I think Kevon Looney can be, if he's playing, a serviceable center in this league against even some of the big guys. I think Draymond Green can hold his own. I think Marquese Chris can even come around. I think they can add another center. I don't think you need to build your team around a center at this point.
And no. Yeah. I do think, though, that if you can find some size in the middle in the West, it matters because you've got Gobert.
Yep.
You've got Jokic. You've got
Anthony Davis.
You've got Ayton. You've got a lot of seven-footers that can bring something.
Yep.
And so, you know, you go to Dallas, you've got 2 7-footers, you know. So it's a low to deal with. And so – when you look at that and you saw how the playoffs went, And yeah, Kevon and Marquise, you know, they bring what they bring, and they're going to be part of the rotation because of what they do. But in terms of sheer size, I think you'd want someone that can give a guy like Jokic a little bit more, be a little bit more of a radius for him to deal with. And Kevon is, you know, 6'9", but his wingspan is like well past 7 feet. And so that's always going to be a factor. But yeah, I think that's why I think if they stay at two, I think Wiseman's probably the guy, because he can be, he is that guy built kind of like Ayton in Phoenix, and Phoenix is going to be coming this year. So, we'll see. But
my one pushback that I still do is the reason why the big center kind of went away just for a second was because of the Golden State Warriors and what they did, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The Golden State Warriors did not exist this last season. And what came back? The big center, right? I'm just saying, and obviously the Warriors need wings, and that what made them so good against the big centers, because they had the versatility to be athletic and do all the things, right? But Steph Curry is a difference maker, and so is Draymond Green, and so is Klay Thompson, in terms of defeating the idea of a big center.
Right.
And they are the, you know, you put them in a pick and roll or off ball running around, or Draymond Green now is your center with the ball in his hands. It's hard for a Jokic or these guys to defend any of that, right?
They don't want to come out there.
No, they don't want to live out there. They don't. They can't just be moving around so much.
Right.
So I'm just saying, maybe we need to, before we all dive into, it's now a league where big centers are the thing again. Let's see if the Warriors still have it in them to not dive into that yet. We'll see. That doesn't mean I don't think they should have James Wiseman on the roster. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
I'm just saying they don't need to trade thinking that, all right, let's forget Andrew Wiggins here. Let's send some picks and get Miles Turner to combat that. I don't think they need to think like that. That's me personally. But I've been wrong, Monty, probably 98% of the time.
No, I agree with you there. It's still, to me, yeah, some teams live with their big men.
Right.
But for the most part, it's about wings. Right. I mean, who's the big man in Miami?
Exactly. Bam.
You know, so Anthony Davis is a unique specimen. He's really a five.
Right.
You know, and so, but he can play four. He can even play three in certain situations. I mean, he is that versatile. But there's only one Anthony Davis right
now. Let me ask you this. If the minute you start trying to draft somebody or acquire somebody, in just because you want to defend Anthony Davis or Jokic, who will probably destroy that person either way, then you have an issue going right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys aren't being defended. There's no player that you're like, ha-ha, got you now, Anthony Davis. We got this person. Who? Who's going to stop him?
Yeah. Yeah, right? I don't know if there's an AD stopper out there. Yeah,
exactly. So stop, you know, we can't just, like, start projecting people as this is the guy that's going to stop them. But what you can do is you can have a presence down there to rebound against these big guys, or maybe intimidate other people other than Anthony Davis.
Yeah, well, and if you're Steve Kerr and you're playing a Denver or a Phoenix or a Dallas, you know, you're looking at in Portland, you know, Utah, they all got 7-footers. If you look on your bench and you see you have one too, it's a comfortable feeling.
That's true.
You know, and so that has to be a factor. But yeah, I know Steve is partial to big men that can shoot.
Yeah.
And, you know, while Bogut was terrific for what he did for that team, he wasn't a shooter, but he was a special defensive player.
Yep.
And so what I hear about Wiseman is that his defense is ahead of his offense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I I've heard people around the league say, yeah, that when you put him on the floor with any other nine prospects in this draft, he's going to stand out. He's going to stand out. So that's a factor.
Absolutely. Monty, I really appreciate you joining me. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking about some draft picks in the future, maybe soon.
Draft picks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe some trades. They're not committed to using the traded player exception, it seems. Or maybe, you know, the taxpayer mid-level. We don't know. But if I know anything about this group's ownership, they like winning.
You mean they're not ready just to give up on things?
They're spending money. So when I hear that, you know, they probably don't really want to use, they're not committed to using the traded player exception. Yeah. If they find somebody they like, though, they'll do it.
Yeah.
They'll do it. So let's keep those options open.
Yeah. They're not just going to say, you know what, I want to take on Thaddeus Young's contract right now because we can. No, that's not the way they're thinking. They're trying to look for something special. Monty, thank you for joining us. And also to everyone listening and watching right now, please rate and subscribe to the podcast as always. Really appreciate you watching. I'm so excited. Monty and I, I'm sure very soon we'll be talking to you yet again about the prospects and every new news coming your way. And go vote.
By all means.
That's, I have to say it. I have to end every pod until it's over. Go vote.
Go vote.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.